You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
This week, We Speak Common returns and we're talking about solo D&D, how to play wonderful tabletop RPGs on your own. Welcome back to We Speak Common. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the D&D podcast for everyone, because here we speak common. My name is Ben Norris. This is the first podcast we have recorded in like 2 months, and I'm pretty sure I've forgotten how it all works. We're brought to you in partnership with two wonderful partners, Dice Dungeon and Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B. Both of their links are in the description of this episode. Go and check them out. They're both wonderful people. Describe helps you out with all of your describing problems, and Dice Dungeon give you all the physical things you would need in the world to play Dungeons & Dragons and other tabletop RPGs. We'll, of course, talk about them a little bit later on in the episode, but right now, to put me out of my fear of being on my own on the microphone for the first time in 2 months, I'm going to welcome a very special guest. It is actually the first time that this man has graced your ear holes with his wonderful voice, but I speak to him all the time. His name is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Ben. Yeah, I hate my voice, so like everyone is a treat for this one.
I think everyone hates their own voice, and I actually know the scientific reason as to why, being someone who, you know, works with voices all the time. When you hear your own voice, you're not hearing it the way other people hear it. You're hearing it through the vibrations in the bones in your ear and skull. So when you listen to a recording of your own voice, it doesn't sound right because you're hearing the actual sound rather than those vibrations. So there you go.
We're not even 5 minutes in and this podcast just leveled up in nerdiness.
Thank you very much. Chris, oh my God, it's the first time you've been on the podcast.
It is. I know. What? I've been almost a year working on the mod team and whatnot already.
Yeah. So for people who don't know Chris, if you're not on the We Speak Common server, this will be the first time you met him. If you're on the server, you'll know him very, very well. Chris has been helping me and the rest of the mod team working tirelessly behind the scenes, keeping the server just tip top and running and happy. You've also been, and I don't think I've said this recently, so I'm going to say it now and embarrass you, but a massive support over the last 2 months and just helping me get everything on track and where we want it to be and putting together plans and things. So thank you from me. But yeah, people listening, if you're on the server, if you haven't spoken recently or got involved, Chris is along with Dave and James, the man, and you should give him a big high five virtually. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the team and for being a massive help.
Well, of course. It is my pleasure. I have had a blast and I cannot wait for everything going on, especially with our new show for Dave and I. Next week we post the first episode?
Oh, yes. So a lot's happened. If you aren't caught up yet, an episode went out last week that just kind of resets everything. It's just a quick little chat with me on my own, telling you what's happening, what's going on, what episodes are coming out, what new shows we're doing, what plans we have in the pipeline. So yeah, if you're not aware of what's happening, go and listen to that. We're back. The hiatus is officially over and that will give you all the information you need. But yeah, there's a new show launching next Thursday. And I'm so stoked. I'm so stoked to be a part of it, but also to enjoy it and listen to it as a listener, as I'm not on it. It's not me doing it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's not delve into it though. I want to leave some surprises for those of the wonderful listeners who haven't heard anything about it yet. So today, to relaunch We Speak Common, or rebalance We Speak Common, our first topic is all about playing with yourself. And how to do that in a fantasy realm with dungeons and or dragons and also many other types of creatures and systems that exist in the world. So I don't know, Chris, if my experience is the same as yours, but I have always found that I've been drawn to solo RPGs and solo games as someone who likes being creative and like having, like making stories and creating things. And I find that when I can't do that, I can't play D&D or I can't DM, doing it on my own with myself is a lot of fun. And so having systems and books to do that with has always been like I always go and look. And I find that it's really underrepresented as well. Like you go to game stores and there never seems to be a section for solo RPGs. You might find some books, but they tend to be hidden amongst the shelves. And you have to pull them out and look at them to make sure that they are actually solo RPGs. So this is something that I'm fond of massively and excited to talk about. How are you with solo games?
I don't have a whole lot of experience with them. I do like to, not in the game sense, just in the my own personal life, I like to do a lot of creativity. I'm a photographer, so like if I can go somewhere, I take pictures of the location. Like I did a road trip out west a few years back, and that influenced a lot of the things I added to my game, location-wise and things like that. I love being able to create. Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft with the different horror genres and things like that sparked a lot of inspiration that I was able to use. So just going from that, I don't have much experience with solo RPG, like the solo games themselves, but I do have a good chunk of experience with implementing inspiration and just creating my own worlds and whatever I want. But D&D has a handful of third-party stuff that is great. To help guide any kind of solo adventures or inspiration you want to run.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, we should clarify as well that when we say solo D&D, we mean purely on your own, like not one player, one DM, not one-on-one games, which we have done an episode on before a while back, a long time ago, but you can go and check that out on the podcast. And we might revisit it at some point in the coming weeks and months. It's one of those topics that comes up all the time. But we're talking about purely playing a game on your own. So D&D obviously is not built for that at all. It's a group game that requires at least one DM and ideally a party of at least three or four people. There are games that exist like that. And I want to go through a couple of those before we dive into how to make D&D a solo game, purely because I think it kind of sets up the expectations of how it's done normally. So for me, the first thing we can talk about is choose your own adventure books.
My favorite.
Oh my God.
Back in elementary school, I was always the kid that had one. So like when we had our dedicated reading time, every week I had a different choose your own adventure book. Mm-hmm. They were my favorites. The one, I think it was like R.A. Montgomery wrote them. So like Mystery of the Maya, Space Beyond, all those books were just my favorite thing to read.
I feel like at some point, everyone who plays D&D has had an experience with a Choose Your Own Adventure book. Oh. Like you have to have.
You have and to. It's like a precursor to like, this is what your addiction's going to be in a few years.
Yeah, it's like the first free
hit. It's the gateway
drug. And I like as well, like when I go into bookstores now, they're still coming out now, like new Choose Your Own Adventure books. It's not an old thing, because it always felt like it was an old thing to me, like, oh, that old thing you do when you didn't have video games. But they're just as popular as ever. My favorite ones that I've come across, so I love the Fantasy Flight game series, and there is a, they're usually standalone Choose Your Own Adventure books, but there's a series of four. And I think the first one is called The Shalamante Hills or something like that. And in those books, usually you just play like a fighter effectively who can, your choice is to pick one of the options. So you open it and it gives you a scenario. You pick an option, tells you which page to turn to, you turn to that page, or it tells you to roll dice and you can like flick through the book and they will have little dice on the bottom and you can roll without having dice. But usually when you fight, it's like, oh, you can just swing your sword. In those books, you could play a wizard, and that system, like, I don't know why they haven't used it anywhere else. So you had a spell book at the back of the book that had spells that were three letters long. So like one of them might be zap as a word, right? And the idea was you'd have to read the spell book before you started playing the game. And then as soon as you started playing as the wizard, you weren't allowed to open the spell book again. So you had to remember the spells. So when you get to a situation where you could cast a spell, it would say, hey, do you want to cast a spell? And it would list like maybe eight spells, these eight three-letter combinations. And you had to pick the one that was the correct one. And if you did that, the spell would go off. And if you got the wrong one, it something drastically horrible would happen and you'd fail or something. And that was such a cool system. So good. Like, I highly recommend going back and playing those books, especially because your character carries through as well, which is a fun experience that you don't normally get in Choose Your Own Adventures.
No, normally you either have like a happy ending or you end up dead.
Yeah, definitely. There's a sex joke in there somewhere, but I'm going to let that one slide. The step up that I have from Choose Your Own Adventure books. Oh, God.
We just started the episode talking about playing with ourselves and you're going to not make a sex joke.
I've grown up in the last 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure we've just matured a little bit.
Okay. Put us on the same page. Yeah. The step up from Choose Your Own Adventure books is a book that I have here. That is one of my favorite books I've ever held in my hands ever. And that's saying something. It's by the guys from, well, it's by one of the guys from Corridor Digital, who you may or may not know from the internet space, but it's called Top 10 Games You Can Play in Your Head by Yourself. It's gorgeous. It looks like it's all beaten up and it looks like a classic.
Ooh.
Like I'm showing Chris now. It looks like the classic Redbox style art, but it's 10 games. I think they're going to make another one. I've not even played all of them, but it's 10 games that you play in your brain and you basically imagine. And like the art in it is like this fun crosshatch style, like black and white art, but it's so cool. So the way it works, the 10 games are Adventure, Space, Dungeons, Trucks, The Visitor, The Almo, Murder Night, Your Job, Chess, and Another Life. And they're all completely different, but the way it works, it has a like a how to use this book thing. And it's like the idea is that you have to learn how to keep secrets from yourself, because all you're effectively doing is sitting down and imagining, right? But the tutorial is that you build a an HQ, a hideout. You imagine somewhere, and like in your mind, you walk through it. So like maybe it's a castle on a hill or something, right? And you walk through all the different rooms and you imagine like, oh, there's a drawer there. In the drawer, there's like duct tape, and over there, there's this, and over there, there's that, and whatever. Then you leave and you let your shadow self go in. And this is the whole concept of the book. And the shadow version of you goes in and their job is to steal something, right? And they might rearrange the entire place and not like just move a sofa. They might move the rooms. So when I did it, I had a tower and it had three rooms and I went in and I looked around and it was cool. Great. I left. And then you let your shadow self go in and steal something. So you have to steal something from yourself without knowing what you've stolen. And then you go back in. And when I went back in, there was a basement and one of the rooms was underneath, not above. And it's this idea of like improvise discovery without knowing what you're thinking. It sounds bizarre and it sounds nuts. And it's a really difficult concept to get your head around at first. But once you get it, like, oh, it's mind blowing. It's incredible. The ability to like trick yourself into what you have and don't have and what you've done and what you haven't done. It sounds really bizarre and really out there, but I highly recommend this book.
I will be picking that up. Definitely next payday.
Yeah. It's not even that expensive. I think it was like,
I don't think so. I think
it was like 12 quid.
Yeah. We've talked about it before and it wasn't too bad when I looked.
And it's kind of like a real deep meditation, because you just kind of go off into your own world and you really log out. One of the games is called Trucks. And is it called Trucks or is it called Truck Stop or something? No, it's called Trucks. So like the idea is that you're a truck driver who's driving around America and you have a family and you have a wife and kids, but you also have a second family. But then also when you're on the road, all the normal people in cars are trying to like run you off the road because they don't respect the truck drivers. And it's just like, it's insane. It gives you these prompts. Dungeons, you build a dungeon and then you have to go and explore it. Space, you have a spaceship up in space. Honestly, I don't want to say too much. Just go and buy it and read it.
They sound like it's like a great way to like get in the mindset for like a nice creative building, like anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And between every game, because you can play them in any order, but you can also play them in order. And between every one, you return to your your home base that you made up, that your shadow self went ransacking through, and you keep little trophies and things. And it's, yeah, it's incredible. And there's like places to note stuff in the back. And yeah, it's, I can't even describe, I don't know how to describe it. It's just fantastic. There's a game called chess, but it's not just chess. Like, it's a bizarre form of chess. Yeah, I'm going to say no more. I think it's the type of book you just need to pick up and go through. And I want people to do that. So go and check that book out. It's incredible. And if you're looking for things to do on your own, glass of wine, turn all the lights off, sit in the darkness, close your eyes, play some games by yourself in your own head. There you go. That's my pitch.
That's up. Yeah. We're done. Episode
that's
over.
It. It's over. Yeah, that's all we need.
That's all we need.
So then the next step up from that is actual solo TTRPGs. Now, I don't know about you, Chris, but I know a few that I really want to play and I haven't played. The favorite one that I've come across that I really want to grab, but haven't yet, is, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation name, is, it's called Colostal, I think.
Okay.
I think that's how you say it. If you search like Colossal, but mixed with the word castle, you'll find it. And it's the whole world is inside a giant castle. And by giant, I mean like you're so small that one room is like the whole world. And you are exploring the giant castle and discovering and like sort of finding the, building the map as you go effectively. And there's things you can fight and there's like strange stuff to discover. And I think there's two books now that I've seen. There might be a third one on the way, but the first book is just kind of the setup, gives you the rules and how it works. The second book comes with more locations. So when you get to a river or you open the door to another room in the castle, you can then go to new locations that the second book gives you. It also has a story, like a campaign that you can play through on your own, which is quite cool. But the way it works is using a deck of cards. So the idea is you build a character and then you draw cards, and those, like from a normal 52 card deck, so not like a special deck you have to buy. And what you draw gives you certain things on certain tables and generates the room and generates what creatures you find. And you then are meant to like journal as you go. So the idea is you create a character and you're writing a story from their perspective in journal entries as you play, which I think as a creative experience and for something fun to do on a night on your own is
incredible.
Incredible. And it does sound a little bit like, oh, why would you do that when you could just do it with other people? And it's like, oh, you're on your own, you weirdly independent person. But sometimes we are on our own. And I think that if you need to escape into a different world, something like that is such a tool to do it. So that's a system that has, and I suppose I want to say like it's like semi-random, because I feel like there can only be so many combinations from cards rather than numbers, but a 52 card deck and like different suits and colors mean different things. So it's always going to be different when you play, but you literally just draw cards and then make choices and then write about it. And you're basically storytelling.
I love that so much. Yeah. Cause I know that's, I love the idea of being so small. Cause I know Dave and I have talked about like what would be a real cool D&D like campaign setting, playing like a mouse or something in a forest, a group of those, and go, it'd be real cool. But the idea of going through room in a castle and that being, especially drawn by a deck of playing cards, is awesome.
Yeah.
I know since we're talking about different systems before we get into D&D.
Yeah.
Chaosium, the people that make Call of Cthulhu, they have their own solitaire adventures. So it's just you. And I believe at least they walk you through the rules of the game too, as you go through, at least in one of them. I saw that when I was looking at them. So you don't even need to really know how it all goes. You pick up and you can just start playing, and then you can get traumatized by whatever Call of Cthulhu wants to throw at you.
That's sick. And that uses the full Call of Cthulhu system, doesn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
but it's, I think it's real cool to have a company that encourages solo play with like their own and not having to rely on a third party source. Just like, hey, we're the publisher of the game. Here's a published adventure by us for you. Do with it as you will.
Yeah. And I suppose if you've got, I was going to say something and I've changed my mind. I don't think he probably could, but I was going to say, well, if you've got the solo rules, you could probably play any of the adventures by yourself, but they wouldn't be written in the same way to be able to like discover things without spoiling stuff yourself. So yeah. Yeah. It is nice to have, because I think we've said before, like the third party realm of TTRPGs, regardless of the system you're using, keeps them alive far beyond when the publishers move on to a new edition or system. And also just like fills the like library, I suppose. I'm trying to find the right word for what I'm trying to say, but like if we didn't have the third party place in TTRPGs, they would be nowhere near as successful. And I think it's natural that we have them because we're all so creative and we all want to like make our own stuff and then share it with each other and you know, have fun with each other and let other people have fun. So, but it's nice to have a company go, oh yeah, let's give something bespoke for that rather than let them do it on their own.
Exactly. I think that's because, a real big like upside for their company, that it shows like, oh, you know, we're caring, like we see that people, this is a want that people have.
Yeah. And I feel like when you're relying on the third party side of things, there is that kind of, and we've talked about it before, and like how do you find good third party supplements, you know, for your table. We've done that episode before, and it can be tricky because there's so much out there, specifically for like D&D, because it's one of the most popular. There's so much stuff out there that finding the right thing for you or finding something that's actually good, because there's a lot of crap out there in the nicest way possible, there is, because everyone makes stuff and some people are really good at it and some people are still learning. You know, and we'll talk about this a bit in a minute, but when you start looking for rules to do solo play in D&D, you've got so much choice. And, you know, when you find the one that works for you, great. But how difficult is it to go through every single one and maybe play test them yourself and decide the one that you like? Or, you know, it's a lot. So to have something, air quotes, official, is just great to see. So that's a whole bunch of examples. There are so many more. I'm constantly looking up new solo RPGs. It's that typical thing of where I look up a TTRPG and then I don't play it. I just like, I go, oh, that exists, cool, I love it, and then I never have the time to play it. I do that with solo RPGs more than I do it with group tabletop RPGs. So there are so many out there, but for some accessibility and to fill your time, choose your own adventure books, top 10 games you can play in your head by yourself, and Colossal, or however you say it, that's how I say it. Those would be my top three recommendations. If you're looking for something that's not D&D, that is built for solo play, go check it out. And then Chris's recommendation, of course, for Call of Cthulhu via Chaosium, which obviously is a very specific type of story. It's very cosmic horror.
Yes, cosmic horror. It's horror, psychological. It really depends on the adventure. They change it up, but it is definitely a horror-based game. So that is something to keep in mind. If you're not a big fan of the horror genre, maybe kind of steer clear of those. But
yeah,
if you like a little torment, all for it.
If you want a little bit of traumatic experiences, then go ahead, jump in. Okay, let's talk about Dungeons and Dragons. And specifically, we're talking about 5th edition because it's the current edition, and how to play that on your own, without anyone else in the room, like the big losers that we are. Chris, you have in front of you some wonderful resources that you found.
Yes.
So let's talk about those.
I think these two books are the most popular resources when you think when someone started talking about playing solo D&D. Because those are the Solo Adventurer's Toolbox and the Solo Adventurer's Toolbox Part 2, the Toolbox Expanded. These have become quintessential when talking about running a game of solo D&D. Whenever I've talked about it to people, they've heard of these two, so that's normally where their mind goes to. Which is very well deserved, because there is, what, over 400 pages, I think, or almost 400 pages of total like material you can go through
in the combined books.
In the combined books, yes. Yeah. So I might be off on my math because it is very early in the morning for me, but it is filled with all different types of tables and different guidelines to kind of run you through a solo an adventure running by yourself. And there's plenty of other things in there that I think personally kind of go more towards brainstorming to like establish this, whatever your backstory or something like that, I think would be a real good use for the book.
Yeah, I think there's something that you kind of have to like get your head around when you're thinking about playing D&D on your own, is that it's never going to feel like playing D&D.
1000%.
Like, it tends to feel more like you're just imagining a game that happened or a story that happened in the world. And so that experience is just quintessentially different.
Exactly. When I was reading through the material, I definitely could like see that like it's great for getting those creative juices flowing, like I was saying, but you definitely lose out on the role-playing aspect, which is what a lot of people are drawn to D&D for. But I definitely think it really works well if you're trying to write stories, right? Like, if you just want to write a story, but you don't know exactly like how I'm going to build like any kind of drama or like what the resolution is going to be, this is really cool to like kind of work alongside and record your adventures. Like, you mentioned doing journal entries for that other system that I definitely will butcher the name up, so I'm not even going to try. But so being able to write a book or a short story or a backstory for a character, kind of going off, hey, this is their adventures before they met the party. Hey, this is whatever. I think it's really cool being able to use that as kind of like a guideline that can go alongside with it.
It raises an interesting point in my brain, though, because like you said just now, a lot of people are drawn to D&D and other games for the role play, which 100% is true. 100%. That's like one of the most unique parts of this hobby that we have. And, you know, when we say TTRPG, RPG is role playing game. Can you really call these solo systems and therefore this rule set for D&D an RPG? Because you are playing a role. You are, you know, you're taking on a character, but you're not role playing with anyone. You're just there imagining. So it is like you've got to curb those expectations of what it's going to feel like and what it's going to be. But if you can get in that mindset of like, oh, you know, I've got a, I don't know, maybe you've got a home game and your game gets cancelled, as they are want to do.
Of course. Or the entire campaign dies off. Dave and I talk about that, my experience with that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, both of those make me want to cry. But, you know, maybe you've got a free evening and you're a DM and you've got players that are going to a new town and you want to have there be some sort of folk hero from that town. Great. Cool. Why not use the solo rules for D&D to play out that folk hero's adventures on your own, write the story or write the journal entries that the players are going to find and cement it in your world. Boom. Suddenly the pressure of, oh my God, I need to sit down and write this 95-year-old war veteran adventurer's life story so that the players can come along and it's believable and interesting and it makes an impact on the world. Instead of that pressure, you've got to play a fun game, write out a story, and then you can edit that story and add bits in and take bits out and make it better and badder and cooler and, you know, great, so that when your players do get back together next week for the game after you've scolded them for cancelling the last one last minute, you can play the cool game and they get to find this stuff that feels real and lived in.
And I think that's a great point, because I know you and I have had discussions about my plan for running Theros.
Mm.
And Dave and I talk about that, and you listen to next week's episode, you'll hear us go in a little bit of detail. But I think it'd be real cool using this to also establish like any kind of legends or lore or myth for your world. Using that to kind of like flush out. Like if you have an idea for, oh, you know, this town is settled here because for some reason, and you can just play through, hey, you know, this is what they believe in. This is the story of how this settlement was established. Things like that. I think it opens the door for a lot of possibility in your games for that creative aspect to kind of flow.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, totally. Okay, let's talk about how these rule systems, without giving it all away, because, you know, you go and buy the books and support the creators. But let's talk about how these rules work for solo D&D and what you need and how it works and what you're gonna basically be doing, because as we say, it is different from standard D&D. However, I will note that you do still require dice to play solo D&D, don't you? Now, if you wanted some really wonderful dice, maybe you wanted to treat yourself because you were going to be, you know, playing your very first ever solo D&D game all on your own, well, hey, you could head over to the Dice Dungeon. They are wonderful partners here based in the UK, and they provide all things Dungeons & Dragons and other TTRPG across the world. You can fuel your lovely Dice Goblin addiction with premium sets of D&D dice made of glass or metal or resin if you're, you know, trying to keep the pennies in the pockets. They're a little bit cheaper, but they're just as beautiful. You can grab the latest adventure or expansion in beautiful limited edition covers, and you can protect your collection with things like dice scrolls, rolling trays, and of course the wonderful vault of storage, which is super handy if you are a traveling DM like I tend to be. You can check out the growing collection right now using the link in the description below, and you can get 10% off your entire order when you use the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout. That's the Dice Dungeon. They're wonderful people. You should go and support them. And I believe I'm going to say it. And if I'm not allowed to say it, I'll get told off by Ben and Dave. But that's fine. They're going to be at DragonCon again this year. We attended last year and met some amazing people, and, you know, just had a bloody great time, to be honest with you. So if that's something you're interested in, DragonCon this year in London, they will be there. And we are also planning to be there with them. Our other wonderful partners are Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B. Describe help you run your best adventure with less prep and more immersion. Yes, it's all of that tricky stuff, that box text that can be so hard to write, especially when you're trying to, you know, describe what an eldritch gothic horror looks like. Who really knows? And those who do really know have gone absolutely mad. Head over to their website. It's dscryb.com. They have over, I think they're at over 9,500 now, and it's growing, scenes that are written by professional creative writers to paint the picture of your world, whether it's monsters, spells, whether it's dialogue, or more. Honestly, there's so many collections now, it's hard to go through them all succinctly. You can dive into their sonic library if you're looking for music and sound effects, and uncover a lost map or two when you're searching through the scenes. And if you are a player, you can use their box text written for players in combat as well. If you want to describe that epic fireball that destroys the big bad evil guy, they've got you covered. There are 4 plans available. It couldn't be more accessible. Just head over to describe.com, D-S-C-R-Y-B.com, use the code COMMON, and you'll get yourself 10% off each month that you are subscribed. Go have a look. They've got some amazing stuff. Their link is also in the description below. And of course, if you want to support us directly, then hey, why not head over to our Patreon and join us on the We Speak Common Discord server? All those links are down below too. Chris, how do I play D&D on my own? Because I'm a big loser and I have no friends.
If we're not going to use, if we're looking at the solo adventurers toolbox as just like a brainstorming, kind of making the side story, there is the option that I've seen people using. I haven't played around with myself, but ChatGPT.
Okay.
I've seen things about people using ChatGPT as a Dungeon Master. I've read through some of the chat logs and it's really good.
Is it? Does it?
I wouldn't say it's really good, like nothing decent in person DM, but
just backtracked.
I also want to establish my standard, like my expectations for an AI Dungeon Master are not very high.
Okay.
I will say, like, some of the things I was reading was really cool. Like, I saw an entire, like, concept, like, 3-4 paragraph, like, story hook concept for a one shot that sounded really enticing, generated in a matter of seconds with ChatGPT. And I'm going to butcher that spelling, or I'm just going to get a tongue twister the more I say it.
ChatGPT. It is hard to say.
It is. But I definitely think that using that, because I've seen plenty of articles and I was looking up earlier this morning, just like double check if I'm not completely insane, of people that are using that have like trained it essentially to kind of work through and go through. I think it's also a really good tool for Dungeon Masters.
Yeah. Well, that's something that I'd love to do an episode on in the future is just the... Oh God, I sound like a tech bro, but the AI integrations into TTRPGs and D&D, because we've seen it with things like AI art and AI text generation and like all of this stuff. And I've used ChatGPT and like played around with it and had it make me weird magic items and things. And they're not perfect because, you know, it's a learning model and it changes and grows over time, but 100% it has a use. And I'm imagining it as a DM being kind of like, and this is maybe giving it too much credit, I don't know, because I've not tried it myself, but do you remember the old text-based adventures like Zork? Like that, but AI generated for D&D. Like imagine having a randomly generated text-based adventure that's always different every time you play it, powered by an AI that was made for that so that it didn't, you know, get things wrong. Because I'm imagining if you're trying to play D&D on your own with ChatGPT, it's going to get some things wrong from time to time, you know?
Which I'm sure. But it's just you playing, so you can make up for whatever. There's no, you know, rules lawyer player that's going to hold you to, hey, this canon is here, or anything like that. But I think it comes in, I mean, I think it's, I view it more as a tool. Than anything. Like I think it has the potential for a solo D&D if you need to scratch the itch, but I see it as a really nice tool for Dungeon Masters to use in order to kind of design a new like magic item or just something along those lines.
Yeah. So then what are the systems in place in the solo D&D toolkit boxes? How do they, because do they, a lot of the systems I've seen tend to be based around cards and drawing cards and things. So how do they do it?
They use a dice system.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's like a 60-12 system or something like that in the second book that it talks about. The one I'm in the first book, and I'm looking at the travel section because I don't want to give too much about what's going on.
Absolutely.
And travel's always, you know, a hit or miss kind of thing, depending on who's you're DMing for or, you know, what your DMing style is.
Yeah.
But you're able to roll on a D20. It's got a table talking about whatever your mode of travel is. So from foot to draft horse to a donkey or a mule to cart, like how much those will cost, how many miles you can cover in a day. But it goes into rolling a D20 when you're establishing your weather. So, you know, if you roll a 1 on a D20 during the winter, you're getting a heavy snow.
Yeah.
But if you roll a 19 or 20 on the winter, it's unseasonably warm. So it's like a nice, easier travel. And it kind of goes from, you know, it goes the whole range. So if you roll a 1 in the summer, it's unseasonably cold. But if you roll a 20, it's very hot. So see, you're going to want to roll like in the middle.
Yeah. What I like about this is that you're still getting that D&D itch scratch of rolling dice and feeling like you're kind of playing Dungeons and Dragons. My only thing I think is like where solo D&D lacks is that you're never going to get to experience a story in the same way that you do in D&D. Like, it takes the storyteller side of D&D that I adore and love and does reduce it more to the game side of things, because you're relying on randomly generating plot hooks and events, which is fine and that's great and it works, especially for a game. But when you're randomly generating everything, you've not got, I mean, you might by chance, it's not impossible, but you've not got like a very specific story happening. Does that make sense? Am I explaining myself?
100%. I think that's where a lot of the pumping the creative juices flow.
Yeah.
Or get those creative juices flowing, comes in to kind of like establish where your story is going to go, since it doesn't really lay out like, oh, this is the campaign trail you're following, but like, here are the guidelines to make your story happen.
Yeah.
Which I like a lot, just to, you know, what is my basic hook and like, what is this adventure going to spring for me? But it comes in, there goes, and it like, here's another one I'm looking at. It's like, depending on your terrain, what your DC is to find a campsite.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes like, hey, if it's raining, like, you know, you're going to have to do another survival check if you don't have a tent. If you fail to find a campsite, here's what happens. Hey, roll a D100 and something might disturb you while you're camping. Things like that. It's just filled with amazing tables that are really useful for a solo game, or I mean, even in your normal toolkit as a DM.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even talked about that. There's stuff here that you can port across and use, which is, I mean, always valuable, but also a little bit mind-boggling to think that, you know, we're talking about one way of playing, it's applicable to all of them. I would be really shocked if this doesn't exist already. And I can't believe I didn't think of this earlier to go and look into it. But so I don't know if you have, but these exist. And when I think of them in terms of like, okay, D&D 5e solo, these in my mind are the equivalent of the Player's Handbook and the DM's Guide, right? They exist as the rules. There must absolutely be some solo adventures written to go with those rules. No?
There are. I don't know if there's any to go along with Solo Adventures Toolbox as it is. But I was looking on DM's Guild just to see if there's any other solo adventures, things like that. And there are a handful. Let me see if I can pull one up. Like I sent this to Dave and he already had it, and it's an Eberron solo adventure for the Savior of Sharn.
I knew it was going to be Eberron as soon as you said those.
Yeah, I saw it and I'm like, this has to be Dave. And of course he's like, oh, I already have this. So
you know, of course he does. Dave. Classic.
But I haven't read anything. Oh, actually, I was wrong. It's all through the same. Is it the same publisher? Is it just a? Yeah. 5e Solo Game Books is the same person that published out Solo Adventurers Toolbox, and are the ones who have a wide variety of different solo adventures available, which I'm sure we can put a link to that page in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah. We'll leave a link to the DM Guild pages in the description below, so you can go and get direct click across these.
A whole bunch of different ones. The Dungeon Oracle, the Citadel of the Raven.
Nice.
Fables of Doom.
Classic.
The Labyrinth of Lies. All these sound really cool and I might pick some up.
Side note. There is something about the titles of like adventure fantasy. There's like, I feel like every single possible title you could imagine for an adventure exists. The Labyrinth of Lies, the Radiant Citadel, the Tomb of Annihilation, the place of the adjective is basically the way it goes. And I love it. Like, it's such a trope, but I absolutely am here for it.
You mean you don't want to play the drums at Daggerford?
Absolutely want to play the drums at Daggerford. Are you joking? That's one of my haunts, is Daggerford. I spend so much time there. Got a holiday home. They're also all very ominous as well.
Like, I love it.
What if the Drums of Daggerford is just a level one adventure where you have to get your neighbor to stop playing his drums at 9 o'clock at night because your baby's trying to sleep? We've all been there. We've all been there.
Oh,
no. I love it. So there's so much out there, basically, is what we're trying to say. And it's, I think my takeaway and the thing that I want to put across, because this was a topic that was suggested by a patron over on the topic suggestions on the Discord server. The most important thing that you can take away is that you need to just be prepared for it to maybe not quite scratch the D&D itch that you're hoping it will. I mean, it might absolutely scratch that itch for you. I don't think it would for me, which is important to know going in, because I will use it for different things. And I don't know. I don't know. That's just kind of where my brain sits with it. That's how I feel about it. And that's not a negative. I don't want that to sound negative. I think it does. It's just something that I think you should be aware of going into these solo RPGs.
No, 100%. I think it is definitely like something to keep in mind that, like, if you go in expecting to have the same D&D experience as you do with like a 4-person party, you're going to end up disappointed. I think going in knowing it's going to be a different experience than what you're used to is something you have to set yourself up for, and you're gonna like what you get out of it, as long as you don't have this is gonna be the same as my, you know, every 2-week game that got canceled because, you know, so-and-so got called into work or whatever. But I think it's definitely an amazing piece of work to reference, to go through, to experience for any, you know, player, DM. Even if you're, if you're a player who wants to try out DMing, that might be something to look into to give you some
ideas.
It's
like a half step along the way.
A half step along the way to get you kind of, you know, test the waters a little bit, see if you can entertain yourself, then branch out, do a one-on-one with one of your friends, one of your buddies who's an experienced DM, see what kind of tips and tricks they can give you. I know that's how I've been talking to one of my buddies who has never DM'd before, and he's starting to get into it and wants to DM. So I've been giving them little tips and tricks. I'm like, hey, check out We Speak Common.
I was about to say, God, if only there was like a podcast about D&D that would really help. If only there was a single D&D podcast in the world. I don't know why no one has thought of that.
No.
It's not like it's an oversaturated market and there's not hundreds and thousands of those.
No, I think there needs to be a D&D podcast for everyone.
Yeah, for absolutely everyone and all their needs. Because, I don't know, maybe they all speak a binary language or something.
I think so. I think that is the summary of what we need to touch that on tap market of.
Yeah. What a concept that would be if someone could pull that off successfully. Okay. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about, Chris, that you want to throw in here before we start wrapping up?
I don't think so. I've kind of come to the end of all my notes.
Oh, great.
I believe I took some notes of the books you had mentioned. So if we want to throw those in the show notes below too, to give people a quick and easy access to those so they don't have to guess on how things are spelt, because I know I will be when trying to find them.
Yes, absolutely.
But I definitely think those will be a really beneficial thing. But in the terms of solo D&D, I have nothing else to say, I don't think.
Well, there we go. Look at that. We've done it. Our first episode back, Chris.
First episode back. My first episode on the main show.
Oh, man. Do you want to... I don't want you to give too much away. But do you want to give a little teaser for what's to come next week?
Yeah, so next week is going to be the first episode of the Tavern Talk show, which is a show with just Dave and I. No Ben. Don't know why he allowed that, but here we are.
I'm honestly thinking about it every single day.
But we are just sitting down talking about our thoughts, our experiences, and discussing different aspects about D&D and TTRPGs in general, and inviting you to come in and join the discussion on our Discord server within the episode discussion page. Because instead of having, we love doing a, hey, here's how you do A, B, and C in these kind of episodes with Ben, but we do want to open up and kind of spark more discussions and, you know, invite more people to share their thoughts, their experiences, and like, we're a community, we're a, all obsessed with this nerdy hobby and we love to talk about it. So we thought might as well bring on some other people, invite them over to the Discord server, have them talk about what they think. This first episode, we discuss who we are and these are favorite settings. Believe it or not, Dave talks about Eberron, which I didn't see.
I cannot believe it. I thought he was a massive Ravnica fan.
No, actually, I thought it was more Faerun, but like...
Oh my God. Oh, it's happened, everybody. It's the emergency alert in the UK. Jesus Christ. Okay, how do I shut you up? Shut up.
And that is some high quality audio to end this episode.
Mate, that is how you finish an episode of this podcast. Okay, so just for context, here in the UK, I knew that was going to happen today. They're doing a mass test of the emergency alert system. So like, you know, if bombs start dropping or the earth starts shaking and falling apart and Tiamat rises out of the Well of Dragons, they can just alert everyone. And so they were doing a test today at 3 o'clock and I thought, oh, don't worry, we'll be done by then. We weren't done. So
we're not done.
I'm going to leave that in. I'm glad everyone got to experience that. Jesus, my adrenaline is just peaked. I'm like panicking. Oh God, that was awful. And my sister's just messaged saying, fucking shat my pants.
That's amazing.
Anyway, as Chris was saying, Tavern Talk is our community episodes, our community focus show. We always welcome people to come and talk about the things that we are talking about on the main shows. But because the shows are here to help and give advice, there's not a lot of conversation to be had at times with some of those topics. So this show, Tavern Talk, there is alcohol involved. I don't know how that got signed off.
I don't know either. Dave just like, we're doing this, right? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, Ben signed that off. Surprise alert, he had not. The show is all about the thing, the open conversation, and is going to be solely fueled by our Discord server. So if you want to be a part of it, come and join our Discord. It's there's a link down in the description below. It's free to join and come and hang out and just chat and, you know, get in amongst the community. And it's the best place to go. It's the place where everything is directed to first. So that's where updates go first. There's behind the scenes stuff on there. You know, there's conversations, all of that. If you want full access, because when you join, you'll only have a few rooms that you can get into. There are a load more hidden behind the Patreon. That includes things like topic suggestions, the conversations for the different adventures. There's our mini corner, there's our storytelling corner, there's our book corner, there's maps and homebrew building and encounter building. There's loads of stuff that you can go into, as well as places like the Vibe Zone, which is our voice channel where we sit and we chat and we talk. To get access to all of it, become a member of the Patreon. Links to that is below too. There's new, more affordable tiers that give you different levels of access. All of that is talked about in the episode that I released last week and talked about at the top of this episode, the announcement of all the changes that are coming and now that we're back. So that's how you get involved. And I'm really excited, Chris, for the show. I'm really excited to listen to it and enjoy it. And I can't wait to come on and join you one day for a drink.
We'll see if you don't cancel us before then. But yeah. I do want to add in with the Discord server, we do also try and do community events. So deck box games, hangouts, and also something we had opened up to commoners, you know, the non-patron tiers, is our community world project, Project Civitas. So what, every week we put out a different prompt. Dave is leading it, so he has more information on it than I do, and he goes in depth next week on Tavern Talk talking about it. But we put out a prompt, and we welcome everyone to submit a prompt, vote on the prompt, and we add that to our little community built world. That is an awesome project for everyone involved. I think this week's project I'm actually going to be able to contribute in, because I have a free week with school off. And I am going to throw a lot of Greek myth influence in there, and everyone's going to have to deal with it.
I just put my prompt in for this week's, and I have not won a single week yet. So I don't know don't know what kind of vindictive nature you all have that you don't want me to win, but it's fine. Yeah, no, it's good fun and it's super easy to get involved with. So yeah, go check that out too. And that's open to everyone. You don't have to be a patron supporter to get in on that and to use that stuff. So cool. Okay, Chris, let's wrap it there. Let's leave it. Let's before I get another alert on my phone telling me the world's ending and I freak out. Thank you for joining me. And I mean, it feels weird to say welcome to the team because you've been a member of the team for so long, but welcome to a member of the on-air team.
The on-air team. I love it. It was a blast. So I definitely hope we can do it again.
Oh, hopefully. No, that's it. You only get one episode. You're done now.
Ah, all right. Well, it's been fun. it's been fun. I've really enjoyed my time here. Look out for me on the server. I'm always there. Because my phone is never out of 5 feet from my reach.
Yeah, Chris has no work-life balance, so he's always there. Always. 24/7.
I'm always
watching.
I'm always waiting. I'm
for you to break the rules.
If they could see the dead look in my eyes right now, it'd be great.
Become a mod, kids. It's fun.
No, but it's a lot of fun interacting with the community and things like that. And I really encourage everyone I talk to, you know, check out the podcast, check out the community we've built here. And I think it's a really great place to share stories and inspiration and all that jazz.
Lovely. Sweet.
I think that is all I've got to say for me. So for the first and last time, apparently, thanks for having me on, Ben.
No worries. Thank you for joining us. And all those links that you need are down in the description below. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And I hope that your D&D games don't get cancelled. See you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at We Speak Common. The network theme is Street Dancing by Timecrawler 82 and is held under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. You can find it on the Free Music Archive.